Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerham Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633. Or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live from the 1480 AM studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. Brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Joseph Erdo and Greg Isaac. And Joseph, have you ever done time travel?
I haven't.
How about in your mind?
Of course.
Going back, night. Forward, suspending time. How about slow motion time?
Slow motion time?
Yeah, when would you like to have slow motion time?
I'd love to have slow motion time all the time.
All the time, even in an excruciating experience?
No, not excruciating experiences, but whenever I am eating,
yeah.
I'd love to eat in slow motion and savor the food.
That's a good idea. Any other activities?
In slow motion?
Yeah.
Well, some of them, you got to like do a roller coaster.
We call it slow-mo.
Slow-mo.
Slow-mo?
Slow-mo.
Slow-mo. Slow-mo. We knew a guy named Shlomo, remember? Shlomo, we did. Remember Shlomo?
That's really his name.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, Shlomo.
I know a guy named Twig.
Twiggy? Yeah.
No, just Twig.
Oh, Twig?
Yes.
Twiggy.
What and about Shlomo?
What about that guy in the news that was released from prison after he didn't do it or whatever?
And then he died, right?
No. He's out, but he spent, I forget how many years, but his name was Cash Register.
Johnny Cash Register?
You know him?
No, I know I know Johnny Register, but not Johnny Cash Register.
Ka-ching.
Well, before we get any further into Johnny Cash Register, that song was Don't Worry Baby by the Beach Boys. It was from Deja Vu. Denzel Washington plays an ATF agent who travels back in time to save a woman, played by Paula Patton, from being murdered and falls in love with her in the process. Did you ever see that one?
No. I don't think so, but I like the time travel movies.
Yeah, well, again,
I think it's interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of like Groundhog Day again,
like parallel time universes. Ever see that Star Trek? Eric, are you a Trekkie?
Not really.
Oh, okay, but they did have parallel universes.
Yes,
and going back in time. Oh yeah, like the movie with the whales, San Francisco. They had to go around the thing. Yeah, that sounds like a whale. Oh, I know what you're saying. You know what that means, Eric?
I don't know, really.
It means Shlomo Swan Wheelie. So, but yeah, remember that was a good movie. They went back to San Francisco in the 19.
I did see that one.
90s or something, and saved the world 200 years later.
Nice.
I believe in that. Do you believe in that time travel?
I don't know. Well, you know, because I was. We're going to see if we are able to get our guest physicist Paul Davies on. He was going to tell us a little bit about time travel, but we might not be able to get him on. We'll see. I'm guessing.
Come on! I wanted to hear what he had to say.
Yeah, so did I.
Because you know what the thing is, when I was trying to get our guests for today's show, when I was trying to find an expert in time travel, I did find this guy's website, and I'm not going to say it on the air and everything. And give him publicity, but because I don't know if he exists or what, because I sent him an email and the email bounced back. And
maybe
I did
he's traveling
some
in time right now.
I did some research, and that's exactly what people are saying. They said that he was a really big expert in time travel a few years ago, and then all of a sudden he just disappeared.
Really?
And then they looked further and further into it, and he went back in time or further in time or something like that.
Maybe where he is, there's no phones.
That's possibly
he could have gone back to the 17th century.
Yeah. So that was a different guy. That's not this guy.
Wait, I see a pigeon flying in. There's a pigeon flying in. Do you see that?
A what?
It's a pigeon. He may be in the 17th. Let's open up the pigeon. Do a pigeon sound. Yeah. Good. What does the message say on his feet?
I don't know. You're the one that did this bit.
Oh, yeah. I just made it up.
I do the seances.
Shlomo is spelled. What? He said to ask Greg how Shlomo is spelled.
Speaking of Shlomo and time travel.
Shlomo.
I think that's right.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Let's talk about a movie where a group of guys goes back to a town where they all grew up in. In the first one, they obviously went to mourn the loss of their former basketball coach in one of the worst movies of our time, Grown Ups Part 1.
Oh, okay.
We'll talk about it after our
guest. Yeah, Grown Ups. Continue. Yes.
Oh, I like Part 2, though. I was the only one here that liked it.
I didn't see it.
Until, remember, what's his name? What's the guy, Adam Sandler?
Adam Sandler.
I really liked it.
Yeah. Don't speak, Dave.
Okay.
Yeah.
Back to you, Mr. Joseph.
Well, so we got our guest. His name is Paul Davies. He's a physicist, a cosmologist, and an astrobiologist working at Arizona State University, where he is director of a research institute dedicated to the study of fundamental concepts in science. He's also the author of How to Build a Time Machine. Thank you so much for joining us, Paul.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
So, you know, tell us a little bit about, first of all, tell us about your book, How to Build a Time Machine. What is that about? Are you really telling us how to build a time machine?
The title says it all. Yes, it is a possible way of building a time machine. But, of course, the book also explores the very nature of time travel, whether it is possible, and if it's possible, how one might go about it. And so it's a sequel to a book that I wrote back in 1995, which has the same title as the movie, About Time.
Oh, okay, so then is time travel possible? I mean, has there ever been any experience, anyone that's ever traveled through time?
Absolutely, and in fact, we do it all the time.
Oh.
So it's important here to distinguish between travel into the future and travel into the past. Travel into the future, we know, is possible. It's a done deal. Einstein taught us how to do it way back in 1905. And the procedure is that you simply have to move very fast. Hello?
Yes.
Okay. You were awfully quiet there. The procedure is you have to move very fast. And in the theory of relativity, which this is based on, everything is measured against the speed of light. The speed of light, if you don't happen to know, it's 300,000 kilometers per second. And so that means that you need to travel at speeds well beyond the capability of our current technology in order to have Doctor Who-like adventures. But nevertheless, even with aircraft and spacecraft speeds, it's possible to measure the time warp very precisely. So, for example, if I were to jump on a plane in Phoenix and fly to London and then come back again and take with me an accurate type of clock, like an atomic clock, and we compare your clock and my clock when I return, I will have shifted a few billionths of a second into your future. Mm. So billionths of a second aren't anything that makes for a Doctor Who type adventure. It's not something we would notice, but it's certainly measurable. And so this type of time warp or time shift has been known and has been measured for many, many years and is pretty familiar to all practicing physicists. So going into the future is easy, but going back into the past is a much harder proposition. However, nothing that is in Einstein's theory of relativity forbids going into the past.
So did Einstein, I mean, I remember Einstein had that theory, although I'm not
sure. Dave was there at the time.
No, I wasn't there at the time. But let me ask you a couple questions. One, a two-parter. One is, what's the difference on how to go back versus forward? You said going forward in the future, you have to go very, very fast. How do you go backwards? And two is, how would you describe it? I mean, I don't know if you've done it. If you have, maybe you could describe it. Is it sort of like the movie Back to the Future, where you can actually, if you go that much forward or that much backward, you can actually see yourself as a younger or older version?
Right. So let me answer your second question first. If you could go back in time, then, of course, you could meet your younger self. And then that raises all sorts of paradoxes, which we can maybe talk about in a moment. But first, to address the question of what is the difference, how would you go about traveling to the past versus the future? Einstein gave us two ways of traveling forward in time. One I just mentioned, it's going at high speed, fairly close to the speed of light, would mean that I could, for example, go off in a rocket ship, maybe be gone for, say, 2 years in my time. But when I get back to Earth, I find 20 years have elapsed on Earth. And in effect, I will have leapt 18 years into Earth's future. Now, the other way of traveling forward in time is using gravitation. So time passes a little bit faster up on the roof than it does down in the basement. And again, you can actually measure that effect. So gravity slows time. If you go out into space, then clocks tick just a little bit faster than they do down here on Earth. So because gravity slows time, if you go to, say, the surface of a neutron star, where gravity is very, very intense, then clocks there would run about 30% slower than clocks do here on Earth. And the ultimate time warp is a black hole. At the surface of a black hole, time literally stands still relative to Earth time. And so gravity offers a much better way of traveling into the past than going at high speed. Now, I think everyone's familiar with the concept of black holes. Maybe people have also heard of wormholes. So a wormhole is like a black hole, but a bit different. The black hole, you fall into it, it's a one-way journey to nowhere. You can't get out again. Whereas a wormhole would be something similar to a black hole. It would be an intense gravitational field. But you would be able to fall through it and come out somewhere else. It has an exit as well as an entrance. You could see through it and you could fall through it. And it turns out that if wormholes exist, they can be turned into time machines that can enable you to travel both forward in time and backward in time. Wow. And that's the basis of the design that I talk about in my book, How to Build a Time Machine. It's based on the wormhole.
Well, you know, and Paul, one of my favorite movies, or kind of movies, is The Butterfly Effect and A Sound of Thunder. I imagine that I know the answer to this question, but if we were to go back in time and, you know, step on a leaf or do anything different, would we really impact the present and then the future?
Well, there's a lot of confusion when people talk about going back in time and changing something.
Okay.
That simply cannot be done. But if it's possible to go back in time, then everything that happens to you in the past has to be consistent with the future world from which you have come. So although you can't change the past, there's nothing in the theory of relativity that forbids you from being part of the past. And let me just give you a simple example of that. So in the movie Back to the Future, Marty McFly becomes embroiled with his mother's love life when she's a young woman, and then thus threatens his own existence. And that's a similar scenario to the one you were just discussing.
Mm-hmm.
But now imagine a more brutal version of that. Supposing that the time traveler goes back in time and shoots his mother dead as a young girl, then you can see quite starkly that there is no possibility of the time traveler then existing, and so no possibility of the murder being carried out. Now, contrast this with a scenario in which the time traveler goes back and saves a young girl from being shot dead, and that young girl then grows up to become the time traveler's mother. So there's no inconsistency there. So, so long as you have a self-consistent narrative, there's no impediment to going back in time and becoming involved in the past, but you can't change the past.
Now,
so that resolves the paradox.
Now, you mentioned a black hole. It just, time stands still. So if you were able to build a model like the black hole or live in a black hole, would you become ageless then?
No, because time is relative. That's the main thing that Einstein taught us. So it's meaningless to talk about time as if it's absolute. Durations of time, like the time that you measure between two events, the time I measure between two events, depend not only on how we're moving, but as I've said, on gravitation. So just think about it this way. Earth is in a galaxy that is moving very close to the speed of light relative to some other galaxy, say 12 or 13 billion light years away. We can see those galaxies. They're rushing away from us very close to the speed of light, and we're rushing away from them very close to the speed of light. But we don't say, well, it's really weird. There's something funny happening to time. So it's only when you compare with somebody else. So if you go to the surface of a black hole and you compare an interval of time there with time back on Earth, then you'll notice that there's a huge discrepancy. So in other words, clocks are slowed close to a black hole by a huge amount relative to clocks on Earth.
So let me ask you this. Can you go, you said going forward seems, you know, well, people have done it.
Right, and so there's no dispute about that.
Yeah, so can you go into the future beyond your death and notice what's there?
When you say beyond your death, if you've gone into the future, then you won't be dead. So in other words, a better way of thinking about this is supposing that you wish to see the year 3000, and you think, well, that's not possible because I'll be dead by the year 3000. Well, it is possible. You just need to travel fast enough, and you could reach the year 3000 in, say, 1 year of your own time.
Oh.
So by moving it close to the speed of light, and you'd have to go around in a loop and then come back to Earth, you could come back to Earth in the year 3000, and you'd only be a year older.
Oh,
so you're in.
Oh, I got it.
You're into the future of the Earth and everyone else who's left behind on Earth. you've reached their future. But for you, only a short period of time would have elapsed.
Now, could this, you know, you said a lot of people have done it. I suspect, I suspect you probably have done it and maybe others, but...
The thing is that it happens even without you knowing, because everyone travels around, and every time you take a flight somewhere, you are, in effect, going a few billionths of a second into the future of the people that you left behind at the airport.
But there's people that have gone, like, a year, 10 years, 100 years?
No, because in order to do that, you'd need to travel very close to the speed of light, and we don't, with our current technology, that's not feasible.
So if that is feasible at some point, with current, you know, the technology keeps improving, are other governments using this as a military strategy, you think?
Well, nobody has got the capability of going more than about, I think it's about 0.1% of the speed of light with our fastest spacecraft. And so nobody's using this as a strategy. In fact, almost nobody even thinks about it. But physicists routinely make the measurements necessary to test the theory, because, well, of course, we want to know this is correct. But a curious thing is, anybody using the GPS system, the global positioning system, which I do, we have this in our car, the GPS works on the basis of a system of satellites that are orbiting the Earth at high speed, and also they're in a slightly lower gravitational field. So they're being affected by the time warp, not only due to speed, but gravitation. And these effects have to be factored in to the computations that are done in order for your GPS system to work properly. So if those time warping effects were left out, you very soon get lost as you drive around and depend on your GPS. So this is a real practical application of these time warping effects I've been talking about. So there's no doubt whatever that they are real, that they occur. It's just that they're too small for us to notice in daily life.
And at some point, do you think technology will be here to go 10, 20, 30, 100 years in the future?
Well, the important point to remember is that the principle of traveling into the future is thoroughly established. The practicality is just a matter of engineering and money. To reach a very high fraction of the speed of light is not only difficult, it's also very expensive.
And so
we can only speculate, but I've been involved with a group of people speculating about whether it's possible to have some sort of starship in maybe 100 years. Is it possible for us to reach, say, 10% of the speed of light with novel propulsion systems? And there are certainly lots of ideas out there, but at the moment they're just on the drawing board. But it would be foolish to say that we will never achieve speeds close to the speed of light. I think it is entirely possible, but it may take thousands of years before we get to that stage.
Well, this has been really, really fascinating, and we've got a lot to think about now, and we're going to encourage our listeners, and I'm going to do it myself, is go out and get this book, How to Build a Time Machine, written by our guest physicist Paul Davies. And also, you're at ASU, and I believe you do lectures as well. Can people see any upcoming lectures of yours?
Yes. In fact, I do encourage, thank you for mentioning that, on November the 20th, I think it's at 7 in the evening, but you'll have to check our website. I'm giving a lecture on Mars on a one-way ticket. So this is my vision for sending people to Mars, but they don't get to come back.
And so
that's a dramatic suggestion, but it's one that is now being taken very seriously. So I do encourage your listeners to check our website. That's just beyond.asu.edu. For full details of the public lecture on November the 20th.
Beyond.asu.edu. Excellent. We will we'll put that on our Facebook. And, you know, finally, probably the hardest question of the day, Paul, what is your favorite time travel movie?
Well, I'm looking forward to, I haven't actually seen more than the trailer of About Time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to seeing that. But up to for now, I think The Time Traveler's Wife is the one that I really quite like, because I like the romantic touch.
That was good, wasn't it?
Yes.
Wow, Paul Davies, thank you so much for calling in. We'd love to have you call in again. I think this is really fascinating.
Yes, it is.
And I knew about Einstein, and of course, he was one smart guy. So if he says it's possible, and Paul Davies, you say it's possible, I believe it's possible. Paul Davies, thank you so much for calling in, and we'll talk to you soon. And everyone get out there, what, November 20th, you said?
Yeah.
November the 20th, it's actually, I'm seeing now, it's 7:30 p.m., and it's at Murdoch Hall on the ASU Tempe campus.
Excellent.
Thank you so much for calling, and we'll talk to you soon.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
All right. That's Paul Davies, ASU, a physicist. I don't know. I find that amazingly fascinating.
Yes, it is. And my head hurts now. I mean,
no, I really could have asked some hundreds of more questions.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is really interesting, and I would have liked to explore a little bit more, maybe on another show, you know, why going backwards is so a little bit difficult.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll do another time travel show. And, it sounds like he does a lot of different things, so we'll have him on as a guest for it to talk about another
topic. What if
he
went 3,000 years in the future and there was nobody left?
Ooh, that's scary.
Yikes.
What if it was like 3,000 years? No, let's say it was 50 years backwards and you met Marilyn Monroe.
You already did that.
He did? Who did?
You did.
Oh, yeah.
You were... Oh, no.
And there was John Kennedy. I go, what are you doing here? What's up? And I go, Robert, what are you doing here?
But you couldn't prevent his death.
Joe DiMaggio, what are you doing here? Frank Sinatra. Oh,
well,
okay.
This is going to be a good transition into our next break song. You mentioned an Adam Sandler movie that you saw.
I did.
Grown-ups.
I told you not to. Why did you see it? Grown-ups 2?
I saw it. I liked it.
I know you liked it, and I didn't. Greg?
Joseph told me not to. Dave said to see it. So I thought, you know what? It's on Redbox now. I'll take a look. I'll see who I agree with in this case. And I'll say this. The first one, obviously the great cast, but, didn't live up to, anything, really. There was really no hype anyways. Now, this one, though, even though as a movie it was pretty bad, And the story, there wasn't really much, it's just kind of their life, but that's fine. I actually thought it was entertaining.
Wow.
Not to see again. It's only a one time, but I would give it a thumbs neutral what I would give it. Not a thumbs up.
I was a slight thumbs down. I didn't hate
it. So I sort of agree with both of you where it's entertaining, but not, in Joseph's case,
it
wasn't anything I'd see again. No, the cast was great, and that's one reason is even if a movie's bad, you got all those people in it. Even the stuff with Taylor Lautner and Vila, what's his face? Milo.
Milo Ventimiglia.
I never say his name. I pull a Dave. See, I thought that was funny, when they're doing their things. I mean, they're taking a little far, but, I like when they do that sometimes. So stuff like that was funny. I probably won't see it again, but
it was
better than the first one.
Joseph said thumbs down.
I said
thumbs up, and you said hand
thumbs
gesture.
Neutral. What?
Hand gesture.
You can't go wrong with Shaq or Steve Buscemi there again. And
well, the reason I wanted you to
Andy
say that
Sandberg's
now.
Andy Samberg's cleaning the car. That was Dave's favorite part, where Andy Samberg and the Lonely Islander.
Yes.
I
bet he liked that.
He had MacGruber in there.
Well, the reason I wanted you to say that is because what if I say time travel movie starring Adam Sandler, what do you think of?
Click.
Very good. Yes, the song that's going to take us under our break is from Click, You Get What You Give by the New Radicals. Adam Sandler plays a workaholic architect who finds a universal remote that allows him to fast forward and rewind to different parts of his life. Complications arise when the remote starts to overrule his choices. I didn't think it was that great, but it was okay.
Really?
I thought it was okay,
just
too.
Just because Kate, what's her name, was in it.
Winslow.
Made it all.
Winslow.
She was great.
What's her name?
No. What's
Kate
Beckinsale.
Kate
Beckinsale.
Kate Beckinsale? Oh, Kate Beckinsale, yeah.
Beckinsale.
Just because she was in it, that made it all
Greg
great.
Said it seven times.
Yeah. A bacon. Did you say
seven times?
Bacon sale?
It's all
bacon
right.
Cotton
man,
candy.
Bacon sale. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment, 1480 AM Studios, KPHX. We'll be right back.
Do
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
So won't you help pick up the pieces of a broken heart? After all, it's you that did the breaking. So won't you help pick up the pieces of a broken heart?
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live here at 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. Brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Joseph Erdo, Greg Isaac, and Sebastian Noren comes in the studio from Real Hockey Talk. But first, is that Willie Nelson?
No, that's not Willie Nelson.
Is that Ricky Nelson?
That's Buddy Stewart.
Buddy Stewart, of course.
From It's Help Pick Up the Pieces, probably one of Sebastian's favorite movies, Looper.
Looper, I remember that. Bruce Willis.
Yeah, Bruce Willis, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
That's your favorite, Sebastian.
It is not.
No, I didn't like it.
It is
either.
Not his favorite. Okay.
No, I don't know.
You know, that could be used in a horror film. That
it could.
Creepy.
Yeah. A lot of these older songs are kind of creepy.
Sounds like Blue Hawaii, Elvis Presley.
Okay.
Right? No, maybe not. Well, time travel.
Well, okay. Yes, time travel. So this is another time travel movie.
Yeah.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays a hired gun who mops up messes for the mob by assassinating targets that are sent 30 years back in time. On time until his future self, Bruce Willis, suddenly shows up as one of said targets. So they go back in time.
Yes.
I saw that movie.
Yeah. You liked it?
It was okay.
I wasn't that blown away by
it. So you had a neutral.
Well, mine was more of a thumbs down.
A hand gesture.
Okay. Stop saying that. That sounds terrible.
You can't do neutral on movies except for Grown Ups 2, because I don't want to look like an idiot by saying it was good.
I already said it, so I look like an idiot.
But then on the other, well, you do anyways.
Well, you know, the thing is, when that movie came out, when Grown Ups 2 came out, there were people, were other critics who say Richard De Niro, they said that they wouldn't even see the movie. And I hate critics when they do that. When they tear a movie apart and then they refuse to see it. You don't know.
You have to see it.
Yeah, no, you gotta see it.
Again, I mean, the truth, being serious, I thought it was entertaining. Like I said, you know, it's not a great movie, but most of those movies aren't great, but it's the entertainment factor. That's what you gotta look for. It was funny.
So speaking of entertainment factor, Thor the Dark World opens this weekend, and in this one, Chris Hemsworth reprises his role as Thor, who, faced with an enemy that even his home planet of Asgard cannot withstand, must embark on his most perilous and most personal journey yet. Natalie Portman, Anthony Hopkins, and Tom Hiddleston also star. And so I saw you did the fist bump there, Sebastian.
Yes.
Did you see this, or did you just look forward to
it? Oh, I am so looking forward to seeing this.
You like the first one?
Yes.
Yeah?
And I like Thor.
You like Thor?
Yeah.
Okay. Is anyone else looking forward to Thor?
No. You know what? I didn't see the first one.
You didn't?
I just seen bits
I didn't
and
either.
Pieces.
I heard it wasn't very well.
I heard it was good, but I didn't care for
the first Thor. I didn't much, you know. I thought it was okay. It was still, I think, like a moderate thumbs up.
Yeah, because Natalie Portman.
Well, yeah, that, and it was different. It wasn't. I'm not that much of a sci-fi fan, and I felt that it was
sci-fi?
A little bit too much sci-fi.
Oh,
you know,
mind.
Fantasy kind
no,
of
I'm
stuff.
Just kidding. Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I like more Iron Man and Spider Man, and you know, all the Marvel
cool.
things have been thumbs up.
Iron Butterfly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you, Eric. I knew he'd know that.
Well, all the Marvel movies, all the Marvel superhero movies have been thumbs up for me until now.
Oh.
This is a thumbs down. I hated Thor.
Do not see it, Sebastian.
I am going to see it.
He's going to see it.
Why, though?
Well, yeah, why?
Okay, see,
good question.
The thing is, it's there's very little humor in this movie, first of all.
That's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
The thing
darker Thor.
Oh, the darker Thor. No, the thing that made all these Marvel movies work is the humor. Is it, you know, the Robert Downey kind of like weird humor and stuff like that brings it down to earth. This movie it has not enough down to earth relatability and too much otherworldly fantasy. There's not enough comic relief in this movie. We only have a little bit from Tom Hiddleston in the movie, and also Kat Dennings. I thought they were the only two good actors or characters in this movie. Of course, Kat Dennings from Two Broke Girls.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
hilarious in the movie, and on the TV show as well. And Tom Hiddleston, he deserves his own movie. They need to make a Loki movie. I think that would be a science fiction movie that I might actually like. But at the same time, we might be getting a little bit too much Loki, because he's been in a lot of these Marvel movies to date. And I mean, you know, I like when they switch up the villains and stuff like that. And, you know, so I did not like Iron Man 3 very much at all.
I haven't seen that yet.
I did not care for it, you know, but it was at least better than Thor the Dark World. That was at least still like a slight thumbs up, because it was still entertaining. This is a snooze fest.
Ooh.
I actually fell asleep during the final battle.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
During a battle?
During a battle. And it was, I probably only missed like 3 minutes or something like that.
What woke you up?
Surprisingly, okay, they were doing the battle, and then I woke up and they're sitting around a table, and it ended like a minute and a half.
Spoiler alert.
Well, I didn't say who's...
They sit at the table.
They sit around a table, yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful ending. I love those endings.
That's
right.
Great.
But, you know, it's a little bit too self-serious. I feel like when you're on this other planet and in this other dimension or whatever they're doing, and you've got this guy with this magical hammer, you've got to, like, at least know, at least tongue-in-cheek, that this isn't real. They took this so seriously. I think that only comic book people will love this movie. I think other people, like myself, are going to be... kind of thinking, I miss the original Spider-Man, you know, that kind of stuff. And I, you know.
Yeah, I like Spider-Man.
Yeah. So cool. The only Marvel movie that I really loved to date is Captain America. I thought that was the only one that's really, really worked. So I'm thinking that that Captain America may not only have to save the entire world in next spring's movie, the Winter Soldier, he may also have to save the Marvel superhero film franchise because, again, it's been consistently downhill, I think.
I mean, the Avengers was awesome.
It was okay, but I was not blown away.
So Thor is Boar and Thor is Snor.
Yes, and I know we've talked about this theme before, but can you ever really trust someone who's betrayed you before, Dave?
Well, I think it is possible to trust someone who's betrayed you before. However, there's a bigger question, Mr. Joseph. How will you know if someone now is trustworthy when they've not been trustworthy in the past? Have you thought about that?
Yes, the movie tackles that a little bit.
Oh, they do? Well, I think people can change and time will tell. So time has something to do with it. But that's not the only thing that has to do with it. It's how their values may have changed, what lessons they learned if they weren't trustworthy. So if their number one value was themselves, sort of a selfish state, then no. Yeah, I don't think you're going to trust anyone under that state because they're going to think of them first. But if they're starting to move towards other top priority values like a selfless state and things that happen in their life have changed their priority of values, then I think if you notice that, you can trust people that have betrayed you.
Well, there you go. You know, because Thor has to figure out, can he trust Loki? Because they've got
Loki?
Loki is Tom Hiddleston's character.
It's his brother, isn't it?
Yeah, his brother.
A guy named Loki?
Trying to kill him.
Yes.
Oh, no, that's bad.
You don't know your Norse mythology, really?
No, I know Greek mythology.
And he really, like, destroyed New York? In the Avengers?
It's bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you trust this guy who's done all these bad things?
So a nice theme, then.
It's a nice theme, but again, I mean, we've
talked
about
this theme a few
times.
Maybe I'll see it. Maybe Sebastian's right.
Ugh. What? Because it's a nice theme?
Yes. Themes are good, right?
But they don't do the theme very well.
Oh, it's a bad theme.
No, it's a good theme, but it's executed poorly.
Okay, maybe you're right. Maybe, Mr. Joseph, you are quite correct on this.
All right, well.
We'll have a debate. Sebastian, you go see it, and let's see a battle.
Yeah, I'm going to go see it.
Yes, you will go see it. But and I believe it's doing pretty well at the box office. But, you know, I think that you'd be much better off seeing either About Time or 12 Years a Slave this week.
Yeah, I would pick those.
Yes. And, you know, of course, let's into the break, a movie that came out last weekend, another big thumbs up for me was Free Birds on our Thanksgiving show. Free Birds, the song that's going to take us into our break is Up Around the Bend by Social Distortion. Owen Wilson and Woody Harrelson voice turkeys from opposite sides of the tracks who must put aside their differences, team up, and travel back in time to change the course of history and get turkey off the menu, the holiday menu for good, and no ducks aren't on the menu either.
Wow, I never heard of that one, but that's another
it's
thumbs
a big
up.
Thumbs up. Animated adventure, great for kids and adults alike.
Wow, very good. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live here at 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633. or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.riiadvisors.com. That's riiadvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's riiadvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live here at the 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph Erdo, Greg Isaac, and from Real Hockey Talk, Sebastian Norn. But he knows his entertainment, too.
Yeah, I do my guest appearances.
Yeah, and he likes Thor.
Yes, and I don't.
And he
I actually have a Thor's Hammers necklace at home.
Wow.
Really?
That's commitment.
What does that do? It makes you magical.
Yes.
Ooh, wow. Like it.
Well, that song was Love Will Tear Us Apart by The Broken Social Scene. It is from Paul Davies' favorite time travel movie. Remember?
Time Traveler's Wife.
Yes.
Oh,
very good.
Yeah, that was good.
Sounds like another song that would be great in a horror film.
Right. Yeah. Eric Bana plays a Chicago librarian with a gene that causes him to involuntarily time travel, thereby causing complications for his marriage to his wife. Played by
Rachel McAdams,
who's in About Time.
Yeah, she looks nice really young in that. And so one of my favorite movies, Notebook.
I bet he wishes he can travel back in time regarding the Hulk.
Well, I thought that was okay.
Or the poker movie. God, he was terrible.
Oh, that was a poker movie. Oh, yeah,
that is one of the worst movies I've seen.
Oh, Pokemon? Yeah, Pokemon.
To be brutally honest, I didn't see the Hulk either, but I just heard it was
bad. It is so bad.
But you liked it, though.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. It wasn't terrible.
I liked the original TV Hulk.
Well,
with
all the poker thing?
Yeah.
Oh, the poker movie was terrible. Yeah. No, I hated that one.
Oh.
Lucky you. Yeah. But, okay, so in a few minutes, we're gonna have our Dave's Random Enlightenment of the week, New Marriage and Honeymoon. That's the theme.
Uh-huh.
And we've also got a surprise to tell our listeners about next Saturday.
Yeah.
And but before that, we've got a themed game.
What?
At least I'm waking up now. Thanks, Cedar.
I just kept going. Because,
there is coffee in there.
Yeah, what did I do?
Thanks, Eric. I might get
did I do something, Joseph? Break.
I think that we should have used that for your honeymoon.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can do it again. It wasn't even a line. It's less than a line. Eric, was that funny? Yeah.
No, I don't know. I missed it. I was busy eating.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know. What are you eating? Can we have some?
Food.
Salad.
Oh, nice.
Very good.
You're going to want to get into our other folder there. Flashback mashup.
Yeah, I'll do it again. Yeah.
File number one?
Yeah, but not yet. Let me tell everyone about the game. It's a themed game about time travel, so we're going to travel back in time, and we're going to play a few clips from a mashup of clips from the trailers of several movies, and I think there might be seven of them per clip, and you have to guess the year, but and our listeners can play along at home, and so you might I gave you everyone paper. You might want to write down some of the movies.
So we're guessing the year of the movie.
You're going to guess the year, yeah.
The name of the movie and the year.
The name's not part of the game. It just might help you because you're going to hear seven of them.
Seven.
There's seven of them, but basically just the year that these movies were made. They're all in the same year. Okay. So we have three of them. Let's go ahead and play the first one.
Mr. Stark, you've been called the Da Vinci of our time. What do you say to that?
Absolutely ridiculous. I don't pay him.
What do you say to your other nickname, the Merchant of Death?
That's not bad.
If you're looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
So what are you proposing?
It's simple. Kill the Batman.
Three guys around the same time.
You shady lady.
The last time I saw your mother, she said she never wanted to see me again.
You know what you are? Your skin is pale white and ice cold. You don't go out into the sunlight.
Say it out loud. Say it.
Vampire.
I always knew she'd marry big.
You thought that after the second breakup?
Yep.
After the 15th?
Uh-huh. We broke up a lot.
What can a slumdog possibly know?
We went on the show because I thought she'd be watching. She's my destiny.
All right, so what are some of the movies that you heard in there?
Twilight 2007.
You heard Twilight?
2007?
Well, you're saying 2007, but what other movies?
Could be eight.
The Dark Knight.
Yeah,
the
Dark Knight. Yeah.
And Taken.
Wally, right, Taken. And Taken, yeah. The first one was Iron Man.
Iron Man, yeah.
Yeah.
So they're all in the same year.
They're all the same year. I'm surprised that you didn't pick up on Mamma Mia.
Yeah, Mamma Mia.
Oh, darn it, I missed it.
And Slumdog Millionaire. And, you know, you have props to Sex and the City.
Oh, yeah. I saw that one.
Didn't see that one.
Which one, one or two?
So you're saying 2007.
Well, let me think.
Are you older? Said 2007.
Yeah, you said 2007. You got to stick with it.
The thing that I wrote down, I don't stick with. I'm saying 2008.
You're going to say 2008?
I'm going 2009.
It's not 9. Because that was the first one.
So, Sebastian and Greg get a point.
Oh, you guys.
2008.
So, I was close, right?
Yeah, you were close.
Yes. So, let's go back in time again.
Everyone's close.
Number two.
I own an island off the coast of
Custody. And I've spent the last 5 years setting up a kind of biological preserve.
What kind of park is it?
What is this? It's someplace new.
Jack, look out! Whoa!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, listen up. We have a fugitive that's been on the run for 90 minutes. Average foot speed over uneven ground, barring injury, is 4 miles an hour. That will give you a radius of 6 miles.
We're looking for a sponsor for the first Jamaican bobsled team.
Why don't you do the world a favor and pull your lip over your head and swallow?
Idiot. I'll throw
my mouth out.
Geek, jerk, idiot, moron. You bob for apples in the toilet, and you like it.
You play ball like a girl.
The terrorists, they ran that way. It was a run by fruiting.
God, it's hot here.
Doubtfire.
Getting hot flashes.
Yes, that was Mrs. Doubtfire. Some other movies
Sandlot,
in there.
Sandlot, Grumpy Old Men, The Fugitive.
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park, yes. Nightmare Before Christmas, Cool Runnings. And all right, so what are you saying?
1988.
88? 93. 93?
No. 1994.
94?
94.
And Greg gets it right. It is 93.
Very good.
Wow, so he's elite. So let's go to the last one. Wow. Here we go, back in time again.
I can't believe it.
Not getting enough lift. We need more speed. Gordy, that's a cliff. Yes, I know. That means the ground is going to end. Yes, I know.
Dr. Evil, we began a program to clone you. He is exactly like you in every way.
I shall call him Mini-Me.
The Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy.
Try to realize the truth.
What truth?
There is no spoon.
Call it the doorway to hell.
Where the earliest pharaohs were said to have hidden the wealth of Egypt.
There's something out there. Something underneath that sand.
Sometimes there's so much beauty in the world.
fuck, I can't take it.
I see dead people walking around like regular people.
Well, this is the female form. Look at the expression on her face. She's kind of looking right into your eyes, saying, "Hey, big boy."
Oh my God.
Of course,
Jason Biggs and American Pie.
Yes,
Sixth Sense.
Sixth Sense.
I forgot already. But I knew as they went.
Wild West.
Yeah.
Spy Who Shagged Me, The Matrix, yes. Mummy.
Matrix, yeah.
The second Mummy, right?
Mummy.
Or was it
no,
the
that
first?
Was the first Mummy.
Okay.
So what year?
1999.
But Greg wins. It's 99.
Wow. How is that possible?
Well, congratulations.
How does he know these things?
I don't know.
I just remember, I was a freshman in high school, and Austin Powers 2 came out.
You got all three right, so that is pretty impressive.
That is amazing.
At least I got
cool running. It's a bobsled team. There we go.
That is amazing.
So that was a fun game, but this is even more fun.
Yeah.
You told us a little bit earlier about your honeymoon and your marriage, your new marriage, and if you don't remember, but I asked you about your honeymoon a couple weeks ago and why you were getting married. And so let's play the Dave's Random Enlightenment of the Week. This is all about your new marriage and honeymoon.
Wow.
Well, you're probably getting a lot of money for your honeymoon, right?
Or getting
your
wedding. Money for a honeymoon? Probably pay out money for a honeymoon. Well, I don't know.
You don't know?
Do I?
I don't know. Well, then I'm just saying that you've got the money coming in.
I do?
You should be.
It would be good if you knew the background information. People get married sometimes out of chemistry. This is different. This is based on deep friendship. Do you believe in that, Eric?
I don't know, but I'm laughing already.
Wow. You're cute, though, right, Eric?
Yawn. I don't care.
Oh, no.
You're going to have a really interesting honeymoon, Dave.
Yeah, it's tough.
The Farmer John's hot dogs and a high fly ball.
Well, I'll flip the switch on or off whenever I want. You like it, Eric?
Sounds sexy.
No, don't call me that. I think we're going to get fired.
There are some things that need to be kept secret. Let's put it that way.
Oh, no. I think it's a fine line whether to keep secrets or not. And I think the fine line is based on questions to ask. Would it be jeopardizing lives if you divulge information? And would it overall hurt the greater good?
Listen, 100 years ago, you could just stone your wife to death when you were done with her.
Which is really sad in a way, I guess. It's sad. It's a strategy, and I don't know if it works well, because for the most part, I think most people do snap, crackle, and pop. Yeah, that's the Cheerios. Does that make sense?
I don't know.
I don't know what it means either.
Yeah, that's a good one. This isn't quite a political show, but that's my political commentary, and I'm sticking to it. The question is, and may we have a show on this one day, why doesn't it stick?
I don't know. Why?
Oh, well, it'd have to be there.
Yeah.
Time travel.
Political commentary. Stone your wife when you're done with her.
I hope I'm still married after I come back home.
Well, before we end the show, we got a big surprise to tell everyone. We're going to be doing a remote broadcast next Saturday at the Outlets at Anthem Christmas tree lighting.
Oh, wow.
It's the tallest tree in the nation. It's standing 115 feet. And let's see, it's got a 3-foot-tall copper star on top, 6,000 ornaments, and decorated with 3 miles of LED lights. We'll be there.
3 miles.
You'll hear us, and we will be having a great time handing out giveaways. So a lot of fun. So stay tuned to our Facebook site, and of course, we will tell you all about it next week on our first Christmas show of the season.
And that's next Saturday.
Next Saturday.
Day is that?
November 16th.
The 16th.
Yes, mark your calendars.
Anthem, where?
The Outlets at Anthem.
Wow.
Yes. And the song that's going to take us into our break is from my favorite time travel movie, Safety Not Guaranteed. It's called Big Machine by Mark Duplass, one of the actors in the movie. And three magazine employees, Aubrey Plaza, Jake Johnson, and Karen Sony, head out on an assignment to interview a guy, played by Mark Duplass, who placed a classified ad seeking a companion for time travel. The comedy was inspired by a real classified ad. Remember, it was on my best list this past year, and it was an excellent movie. Go see it. Go
wow.
It. Safety
like
not
it.
Guaranteed.
Well, this is very good. Joseph Erdo, thank you very much. And you laughed again at... Wow. No, how did I do that?
I'm not sure.
How did I do that?
It was, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. All right, Greg, you're going to remain here, Real Hockey Talk, Breakthrough Sports. And
you sound like the Kool-Aid guy. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then you got a tailgate party going on today, broadcast, jobbing.com arena.
Yep.
Yes.
Scottsdale.
Four to five.
And we'll be out there earlier, so fans, come join us. Say hi.
All right.
Get interviewed.
And this Thursday, North Mountain Brewing Company, come on down Thursday. We're going to be there doing some entertainment. North Mountain Brewing Company. All right. Stay tuned for a Real Hockey Talk starring Greg Isaac, Sebastian Norn, and Paige DeMichels. See you in a few minutes.
Except when they're laughing like some ghosts under a sheet.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.